آدم علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی توبہ اللہ تبارک و تعالی او اللہ you have given so much of power and control to the shaitan over me. How is it possible for me to save myself from the shaitan? You have given so much of power to the shaitan over myself. And I'm expected not to go by what the shaitan says. So the power that you have given to shaitan over myself is far more. So I am going to be suppressed, shaitan is going to be dominant, and how is it expected of me to save myself from the onslaught of the shaitan? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then said to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam that, O Adam, I have appointed such a being over every one of your tribes. That means Ibn Adam, the sons or the children of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, have appointed a being over every child to protect the child from the onslaught of the shaitan. It is mentioned in the hadith that every human being has malaika and angels with him or with her. These are angels of hifazat. If these angels weren't with us, shaitan would have taken us and dumped us somewhere and destroyed us, and we probably wouldn't have been existing, or probably if we were living, there was an animal problem. It is only the fazl and the grace of Allah that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala appointed the malaika of hifazat to protect us from the onslaught of the shaitan. Adam alayhi salatu wa salam then requested to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Zidni ya Allah, O Allah, you have granted me this one bounty, but give me another bounty. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then said to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam that, O Adam, with every good deed that you do, we will multiply it 10 times. But if any wrong you do, then you'll be punished for that, or you will be accountable only for one of them. That again, the great bounty. You can see from this that the rahmat of Allah on mankind. Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam then said, Allah zidni, Allah increase for me. Then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, obviously this speaking about this increase in the context of the shaitan having power over mankind. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then said that my doors of tawbah, doors of repentance will be opened right until a person lives. Now there are 3 bounties that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given each and every one of us as a deterrent against the shaitan. Once, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was crying very, very severely. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, we know what type of a person he was. Student of hadith will know, any small thing happened, Umar radiallahu ta'ala would say, Dani ya Rasulallah, kulhu. Leave me, O Prophet of Allah, let me kill this person. He wouldn't tolerate anything. He was a person who had a heart like that. And for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see Umar radiallahu ta'ala crying was quite surprising. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, O Umar, ma yukika, what is that makes you cry? He said, O Prophet of Allah, there is a youngster there standing by the door. He is crying so profusely that his crying is making me cry. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Umar, call that youngster inside. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the youngster, why do you cry? You're crying so much that you made a person like Umar radiallahu ta'ala also cry. What is that that makes you cry? He said, O Prophet of Allah, I've committed a very, very big sin, a major sin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that if your sins are equivalent to the seven skies, seven earths, and all the mountains, if your sins are even more greater than all this, then you don't have to worry because Allah will forgive you. The youngster turned down and he was crying and he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, my sin is even more than the seven skies, seven earth and the mountains. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that is your sin greater than the kursi of Allah? Ayatul kursi, it is the kursi of Allah, and from what we understand, beyond our understanding and comprehension, but it is very, very vast and very, very great. Could your sin be greater than that? He said, O Prophet of Allah, according to his understanding of what the kursi was, obviously far more greater, seven skies, earth, mountains is the Prophet of Allah, my son is even more greater than the kursi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked him that is your son even more greater than the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah, because obviously the arsh of Allah is greater than the kursi of Allah. Is it greater than that? So he said, O Prophet of Allah, my son is even greater than the arsh of Allah. So a big sin I've committed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked him, is your sin greater or Allah greater? Is your sin greater or Allah greater? What else could the answer be? It's a rhetorical question. It's obvious that Allah is greater than everything, as Allah has said. Upon that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked him, what is your sin? What sin that you committed? That it is so great, greater than the seven skies, earth, mountains, greater than the kursi of Allah, greater than the arsh of Allah. Just that Allah is greater than that sin. What is that sin you have committed? He said, O Prophet of Allah, I was a kafan chor. You know the kafan chor? You know, by the graveyard you go. And in those days, now probably in South Africa, probably wouldn't hear about it. But up till now in India, it's still a little prevalent. But previously, it wasn't even more prevalent. And probably in India, you notice that when they bury a person, you know that coffin, they take like a red kind of a tree or something and they spray on that thing. So if a person has to steal that coffin from there, if they have to stand it, probably if you wave, everybody will know that this person is a coffin thrower. You are probably sitting in the kitab also, the bash. You wonder where that concept came from. Don't do it as a profession here. Nevertheless, this person, he goes and he says, O Prophet of Allah, you know, I was a coffin sword for many, many years. So, once a girl, a young girl, she was buried. And the moment the household left the graveyard, I went there and I dug the grave. I left her naked, I took out that all the coffin that was on her, I removed that and I ran away from there. You say that, when I ran away from there, then the shaitan overpowered me. And so it was a young girl, she was very good looking, just that she was dead, but her body was fresh, she was just buried right now. The shaitan overpowered me, so I went back to the graveyard, in the cover, I went and made zina with her. And he says that Allah, out of his qudrat and out of his power, there probably some students of hadith may have some ishkal here, but Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi, being a faqih, the muhaddith as well, he narrates this incident. And he says that Allah gave life to this girl. This girl that addresses this person, and he says, are you not ashamed? Firstly, you left me naked in the army or in the army of the dead. Not only everybody got the clothing, everybody got kafan, I got no kafan. And on top of that, you are letting me be presented to Allah in the state of janabat. Don't you feel ashamed about that? So this hit his heart so badly that he then regards this sin of his to be such a major sin, more than the seven skies, earth, mountain, kursi and the arsh of Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him away. Person went away And for some time, he spent some time making tawbah, about 40 days. And then he made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He said, oh Allah, that when you forgive me, then first inform Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about my forgiveness. Nabi Kareem Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam then came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that did you create creation or did Allah create his creation? He said, Allah created the creation. Do you provide sustenance for the creation of Allah? Does Allah provide? If a person disobeys Allah, is he disobeying Allah or is he disobeying you? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered all that. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam then informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this person, he has made such sincere tawbah that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has forgiven him. Faqih Abu Layth al-Barqandi rahmatullahi alayhi says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called this person the presence of the Sahaba and gave the basharat of tawbah. You can see from this that the doors of tawbah are open. Who is an angel? Nobody is an angel. Every one of us, we have our weaknesses, we have our shortcomings. And we should never be despondent at any time. Sometimes a person will say, I have such shortcomings, if I tell it to anybody, the person probably won't look at me, he's put on me. I feel so ashamed to talk about my shortcomings. Every one of us are in the same boat. Every one of us is in the same boat. But one thing we should never be despondent of, the rahmat and the mercy of Allah and sincere tawbah. That is a stepping stone for Islam. Irrespective of whatever sin we may have done, we have an opportunity of making tawbah, and this is an ideal place, madrasa, the institute, that to change our life, to make Islam. You must have heard of the incident of Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the qatil of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wrote a letter to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or basically sent a message to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I want to accept Islam, but I have some conditions. The first condition is that, or have some reservations. The reservation is that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem that those people who do not make shirk with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, those people don't kill other people, wala yaznoon. And those people who do not take zina, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala forgives them. Now I want to accept Islam, but I have reservations, because all these three things which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentioned, I've committed all that. I've done shirk. What could be greater than shirk? Ascribing partners with Allah. I also kill people, in fact, I killed your uncle, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And I also committed zina. So if, because tawbah will be forgiven, my tawbah will be accepted, so obviously it means that I mustn't be doing these three things, and I've done all these three things. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a message back, and a verse of it, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. It's istisna, yeah? If you bring iman, and you do amal salih, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Wahshi sent a message back to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I still have reservations. Because the condition of the acceptance of tawbah is amal salih. I don't know if I'll be able to do amal salih. Now one thing that you want to accept Islam. First thing it is, those three things I mentioned there, I've done all three, so how will I accept Islam? So condition what? إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. But now you know the time starts down. I want forgiveness, unreserved forgiveness. I don't want forgiveness with that is conditional with amal salih. What if I don't do amal salih? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote that and told him, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Said Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will forgive whoever he wants, with the exception of that person who makes shirk with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So he's basically, the vehicle that tried to tell him that he falls within this category. He's making tawbah from kufr and shirk, everything else will be forgiven. He writes back to the vehicle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says that this too is for reservation. Because in this, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مَغْفِرَةٌ مُعَلَّقَةٌ بِمَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ. That means that although I break Tawbah from kufr and shirk, but my forgiveness is suspended to the wish of Allah. That means that I don't know that I'm forgiven. I want to be forgiven completely and unreservedly. Then upon that, Nabi Kareem SAW said, then send a message. The way Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. That those people who have become despondent, don't become despondent of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's rahmat and mercy is so vast, so extensive, it encompasses everything. Nothing is empty and void of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. There was one Abid from among the Banu Israel. He was well known, so there was a king at that time. He sent a message to an Abid, showing that you're such a great person, such a popular person, you are well known, why don't you come and stay in my palace and I'll provide everything for you. So Abid told him, probably an Abid probably may not have wealth but a lot of insight and answer in different ways. A person who's got ibadat, who's got the nur of Allah in his heart. We probably won't understand it now, but start doing the work. Start your tahajjud, start your israf, start your Quran tilawat, do acts of piety. And then you see how Allah puts thought into the heart. So I came across the hadith so many times, that if you make amal on that knowledge that you have, Allah will give you knowledge of those things that you didn't even study for. It's a nur that you enter into the heart. So the Abid told him, no, I'm happy wherever I am, and I don't want to stay in your palace. The king said a message again, insisting that you have to come and stay in my palace. So he turned around and he said, I have no problem in staying in your palace. What if I approach your daughter after that? You got daughters also in your palace? And I'll come and stay in your palace, no problem. But would you mind if I approach your daughter? So the king turned around and got so angry. He said, I thought you were an Abid. You are a Fasik. You are a Fajir. You better don't come and stay by me in my palace. I don't need you to stay with me. That is when this Abid mentioned some very beautiful couplet. And he said that look at my Rabbe Kareem. I commit sin and I commit sin and I commit sin. I committed sin very prominently. But my Rabbe Kareem is such that he hasn't turned me away at any time. If you are a king in the world, and I haven't yet disobeyed you, you started your punishment before I could disobey you. Imagine if I disobey you, what you would do with me. Leave me with my Rabbi Kareem wherever I am. This is our Allah, full of rahmat and full of mercy. But very important for us. Make tawbah. Sincere tawbah. Sincere tawbah. Every one of us have our shortcomings. We know our shortcomings. Probably our shortcomings are such that if we talk about it to other people, nobody probably look at us. They start thinking twice whether I could associate. At least I'm speaking for myself. And Rabia Basriya, Rahmatullah Alayha, she made the statement, and my Shaykh Haram Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayha, in Marfuda we also mentioned it, and Safiya Bulli Samarkandi has attributed it to Rabia Basriya, where she says, إِنَّ إِسْتِغْفَارَنَا يَحْتَاجِ إِلَىٰ إِسْتِغْفَارٍ كَثِيرٍ. We make istighfar, we make tawbah, but our tawbah is such that itself requires tawbah. The type of tawbah did we make? We have to make tawbah for what type of tawbah we make. And explaining on that, he explained that when we make tawbah with our tongue, we have intention in our heart to resume the sin that we have made. Now, what kind of tawbah is that? The first condition of tawbah is sincerity. Firm intention to abstain from the wrong that we have done. This is a kind of hypocrisy. That from our heart we have intention to carry on the sin, but we're sitting and we're saying, oh Allah, please forgive me. But knowing well in the heart that I'm going to go and do the sin again. So that is a hypocritical approach. The class in sincerity is that from our heart, we make firm intention not to do the sin. We resolve not to do the sin. Very sincere to it. Whatever the sin is, we know our shortcomings. Bring the himmat and the courage from within our heart to stay away from the sin. And then after that, you make from the tongue, so Allah forgives you. But the niyat must be to stay away. After that, you work towards, adopt those avenues to stay away from the sin. But don't approach tawbah with this, that in your heart, that I will do it, but just to fulfill a custom of tawbah, let it do it for my tongue. That's a hypocritical approach. Nobody in Islam can ever do that. Now obviously everybody will say that sincerely making tawbah, but what are the alamas and what are the indications of sincere tawbah? I'll enumerate some points here which Faqih Abul Layth Samarqandi has mentioned, and say that the first thing, the alamas, look, as far as tawbah is concerned, it's a batini thing, it's an internal thing, it's a matter between Allah and the creation. But if you are sincere, there must be some alamas and some indications of sincerity. The first is that when a person is sincere in his tawbah, you notice that he is guarded with his tongue. He's going to be guarded with his tongue. He's not going to be abusive with his tongue. He's not going to speak lies. How can it be that a person is claimed to be sincere in tawbah at the same time he's still speaking lies? How can it be that a person claims to be sincere in his tawbah while he's still making ghibah? Or how can it be that a person claims to be sincere with his tawbah, yet with the very same mouth, he's probably swearing and is being vulgar? It can't be. So the indication of tawbah is that, of sincere tawbah is that, immediately a person is guarding his mouth. When we saying, oh Allah, forgive, and then there's collaboration between the heart and the tongue, then immediately all the other limbs are going to be collaborated with what is in the heart. We have firm intention to change. Then immediately your tongue is going to talk the same language, the eye is going to talk the same language, the hands and legs are going to talk the same language. It's impossible that your heart is sincerely talking one language and other limbs are not collaborating with that. That's not how human beings function. Think about it. Well, whatever we want to do, in our heart we have a sincere intention to do something and there's a firm desire. No resistance for whatever we want to do from our heart. Immediately limbs are collaborating with that. For example, if you have an idea, you can see a shikar in front of us. An animal, you want to hunt it. Firm intention to go for it. You make the desire from your heart. Next moment you see yourself running and galloping towards the animal. Would it be that you make a firm intention to go and then you're still standing there? You can't say, my heart is just making me go, but I'm not doing. Nobody's going to go against the heart. The heart is there. So you're going to go in the direction of your heart. The first condition of sincere tawbah is that the mouth is immediately guarded. Second condition, alamat of tawbah, is that your heart itself, you're going to feel some cleansing taking place. It can't happen that you make tawbah, sincere in your tawbah, you still got malice in your heart for somebody. It can't happen. It doesn't go together, it never matches. Sincere from your heart, and you make tawbah from our stuff. Sincere tawbah, oh Allah, I make tawbah from malice, from jealousy, from hasad, from this, that, other. If you are sincere about it, it can never happen that you have the dirt in your heart again. It can't happen. It doesn't match. And the third alamat of tawbah is that, which is very important. We were probably in bad company in school. We probably were in bad company when we were not here. And leading to that bad company, we probably picked up some bad habits. We come here to a madrasa and we make firm intention, Ya Allah, I came to a madrasa, I want to change my life. And I know, no doubt, many students here are sincere. But somehow, we just get caught up. Very sincere to change their life. But one of the alamas of tawbah is that, you immediately move away from that bad company. Move away from that bad company. If we really sincere that I recognize and realize the wrong that we have done, it can't be that when we leave the madrasa, we go home for the long weekend, or wherever we go back to the bad company. That means you make firm intention, you're sincere about tawbah, you realize the wrong that we have done. Now how is it that with that sincerity we still go back to the wrong that we have done? It can't be, it just doesn't matter. And the fourth alamat is preparation for mouth and death. That's a certainty. That's a given. Everybody knows. Who doesn't know? But probably what happens is that as we are young, we don't realize. It doesn't dawn upon us. But as we go on further with life, we realize that what we weigh in the past was merely a stuff. Had I understood that before, then probably I wouldn't have been doing what I have done that day. You know, that as you go on, you go to a different phase in life. When you sit back and you reflect, in retrospect, what we have done there, we probably will sit back and then laugh. When we were a small child, probably if we had a small toy, it's probably maybe about 1 rand or 2 rand, and somebody took it away, it's like the whole world was taken away from us. But then today we think about it, what one toy will give away 100 toys for us. It doesn't even care, we don't even bother. Now we are our shabab. We are thinking, looking at the world in a different way. There's a biological change within our bodies. Passion and desires are there. Women will be moving around. Eyes are flirting and slapping around. Obviously, they're natural things. We have to talk about it. But at the same time, we must understand our maqam and where we are going. Are we same like the other people outside the world? Or are we students of deen? We are becoming ulama, supposed to be taught bearers of the ummah. And are we going to conduct ourselves in the same manner as others conduct themselves? We need to sit back and reflect. Sincerely, where are we going? What's my intention in life? What I want to do? Remember this madrasa, we have come here to madrasa, Allah has brought us here. Ideal opportunity for us to change. And remember, many people they think they come to the madrasa, they think that it's a place of angels. Madrasa is not a place of angels. It's a place to become an angel. Otherwise, you think in the first year, second year students, or third year students, they become basically a conglomeration of students. They become different thoughts, different characters. Everybody got different habits here. And sometimes you just bump into somebody, and somebody puts an idea into somebody else's mind, and someday, then something happens. But if every student approaches the madrasa that I've come here, I'm not an angel, but I've come here to become an angel, and then now reflect on what I want to do, and approach life in the madrasa with sincerity. Understand the wrong that we've done outside, ideal opportunity Allah took me away from that environment. That bad company or the bad environment, Allah brought me to an environment which is conducive for me to change. Make use of that opportunity. This opportunity Allah has given us. And the few years at the madrasa, it will go out very, very fast. It will just pick off. When next moment you'll see, now the Amama, sometimes some of my Sati, I remember, I only realized that I was in madrasa when the Amama was put on my head. During the Jalsa head. Then after that, big burden covered on my head. So whatever we can make of ourselves here, while in the madrasa, take the line of Tawbah, take the line of Islam, approach it with this intention. And the more we are sincere in this, trying to make our Islam, changing our life, the more output there will be. You know, you look at a bulb, and the more current can go into that, the more brighter that light will be. The more current of ma'rifat of Allah is inside our heart, the more love, the muhabbat of Allah we have in our heart, the more the greater the output will be. That you can understand so many different ways. I think in the computer language you will understand, if you speak about the Pentium 3 and Pentium 4 and whatever it is, that the more power it has, the greater the output. In the same manner, the more the love of Allah in our heart, the more the realization of the reality of life in our heart, the greater the output will be. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu.